And in that state of peace, we see every living being with equal vision. We want to be a friend and a well-wisher to uplift everyone, and physical, spiritual, and emotional. People are in need in all these ways. And according to our capacity, whether we have a lot or have a little, I really wanted to just do my best in being an instrument of compassion in this world.
It's interesting, you mention all these different spiritual and religious leaders, and yet we look at, as an example, America, but we could look at the UK or other parts of the world, and we see people who will state that they're religious, yet they do everything which is the opposite. They don't care about the other. They don't offer unlimited compassion. They offer compassion based on either you agree with them or you do certain things that separate you from others. And maybe you could comment on that. How have we come so far from this position of just giving to another to now selfishly use this as a separator from the other?
We're dealing with human nature, James. it's always like this, that everything within creation could have a negative or positive effect according to the intention of who's engaging that facility. If money is used with love and compassion, it can heal the world. If money is used with greed and arrogance, it can destroy so much of the world. If knowledge is used with compassion and humility, then knowledge can enlighten us and enlighten others. But if knowledge is used as a tool to serve our own egos or our own anger or our own hatred, then it will have an opposite effect. Technology is the same way. Right now we're using this incredible Zoom technology and we're trying to enlighten people. But we could use the same technology and really try to degrade people, for ulterior motives. And the same principle is there with religion. Religion is a science in its true form. It's a lifestyle. It's a philosophy that's meant to help us to understand beyond our body and mind, we have a spiritual identity. And that spiritual identity is pure and it's good, and it has the capacity for unconditional, unmotivated love. And the way to reach that and the expression once it's reached is, as you so beautifully explained, James, seva, service to others, compassion to others. And religion is something that's very powerful, and it can be used to have a very powerful destructive force, or it could be used for a most powerful healing and enlightening force, depending on our intention.
It's interesting because if you think about it, the reality is that, of course, I'm a scientist. The reality is that if you look at our evolution as a species, one of the things that gave us, if you will, the gift of abstract thinking, the idea of another individual, if you will, thinking independently from us, abstract language, this allowed us, our cortex, to enlarge, which is wonderful. And the interesting thing is that as a result, unlike other offspring, our offspring has to be cared for. They have to be nurtured. They have to understand how we behave, and they don't run off into the forest like other offspring. The thing about that is that we have this thing called the mirror neuron system, and as a result, it allows our offspring to learn from us, and that can be good or that can be bad. The wonderful thing about that is that they can understand how, if they're suffering, if they're in pain, this person reaches out to them, nurtures them, holds them, feeds them, and they grow. And of course, what we get from that is that when they're suffering, we respond to that. And in fact, what's amazing is that when we care, those areas in our brain associated with reward actually increase in metabolism, which makes us, of course, feel better. And then as we evolved into hunter-gatherers, of course, in these small groups of 10 to 50, which was how we lived our lives until 6 to 8,000 years ago, it was also critically important that we, if we saw an individual who was suffering or in need, we responded to them. And as a result, we nurtured them, cared for them, and that way that it improved their ability to function and to provide whatever job it was that they were doing, which helped the group. Of course, unfortunately, once you get beyond a certain size, let's say over 100 to 150, it's quite hard to contain that because there are certain people who fall outside of that and who are not doing the job, if you will. And as a result, interestingly enough, one of the things that happened is we created this narrative that outside of ourselves was someone or something that would maintain control. And interestingly enough, even in the face of that, we still did not do what we're supposed to do, which is to care for another. So I just want to give a little backdrop as to where this came from, and in some ways where religion came from, which is to have this entity, if you will, and this is if you believe what I'm saying, actually, this entity that oversaw everything and gave us a purpose also, because there are two things that happen in that situation. One is this idea that when you die, that's over. Everything is over. There's nothing left. Obviously, with karma, there is some other thing that extends beyond that. Or if you're talking about heaven, something else that extends beyond that. Or if you're talking, though, also about purpose, is that, you know, what you do in this life has an effect on what happens, you know, later in life. And so, you know, in some ways, that's how I, as a scientist, look at this. But that being said, you know, I wish I had every answer, because I don't. That answer fits with sort of the narrative I'm saying and fits with the backdrop. But that being said, clearly, I spend a lot of time with people like you and others who sort of give this other perspective. Interestingly, as you were talking about sort of this negative behavior and these doing different things, let's talk about COVID-19 right now. And what are your thoughts on that in terms of how people are reacting, how one should react, you know, this issue of masks, et cetera?
On a personal level, several people who are very close to me. One of my dearmost friends and one of the most beloved spiritual teachers in the world. His name is His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. I've known him for so many years. And He lived with such compassion, and his whole life was dedicated in the service of God and others. And just last week, he passed away due to the influence of COVID-19. And probably about 100 people I know personally have it. And of course, you know, the world, the more we make a spiritual connection, the more we feel all humanity as our personal family. And even deeper than that, we find all living beings our personal family. And there's a beautiful text in Sanskrit which tells para dukkha dukkhi, that the actual quality of an enlightened person is another person's suffering becomes our suffering, and another person's happiness becomes our happiness. And you know, that how we're actually having that experience is really the gauge of how we're making spiritual progress. So this COVID-19 is causing so much suffering, and you know, there's a great care that is there in our hearts. At the same time, it's an opportunity, because the nature of society is we become so much entangled and distracted by superficial things, and we think they're so important. This is an opportunity to take a step back and really evaluate what really is of value and meaning and purpose in my life. And integrate that into everything we do. We could love things. We can find some satisfaction in our mind and in our senses through interaction with things. But things cannot give satisfaction to the heart. It is only to love and to be loved that gives fulfillment to the heart. And real happiness is actually a thing of the heart. And to focus on, you know, where we can actually nourish love. Love in our relationships with our family, our friends, and a love that's above all the superficial differences that inevitably come between us. You know, to actually focus on a higher principle of why we love each other, why we care for each other. And from a spiritual perspective, the origin of that love is God's supreme love for us. And, you know, from my experience of studying saints throughout history of all different spiritual traditions, and by my beloved guru's example, and by my own personal experiences, however small they may be, you know, that experience of God's love is something that's more real than any of the apparent tangible things of this world. When we connect to it within our heart, it's the most tangible reality of our life. And to serve that love, and that's what's so much required in the world on every level. And this COVID-19, it's a tragedy, it's a crisis. I really believe, you know, from a physical, social, and emotional perspective, we should really take guidance from the scientists and the doctors like you, Dr. Doty, who actually understand the problem in a deeper way. But at the same time, the doors are open for us to go into deeper spiritual connection and experience.
Speaking of that, you know, it's interesting. They ask a group of students what they wanted to be when they grow up. And unfortunately, none of them said they wanted to be enlightened gurus or helping others be of service. Sadly, what they said was they wanted to be influencers. And, you know, it's sort of sad in some ways, because you have people who sort of promote this narrative of I have this, I have that, this makes me happy. And I think sadly, what they don't understand is the reason they have this emptiness, they keep trying to fill it with things. And the things don't offer any nourishment. And they don't understand that there's a subset of people who believe that these things will give you happiness, will give you a feeling of being okay within your own skin, and they don't bring you anything. And it's interesting because these people, though, they keep taking more and more. And the reason I bring this up is that oftentimes, you know, we look even at some of our politicians who, you know, keep wanting things. And the reality is that they're trying to fill up this emptiness that they have with these different things. And unfortunately, there's a subgroup of people who are beneath them who say, wow, they have this, they have that. If I only had this, that's going to make me happy, whether it's a big house, whether it's a big car, et cetera, et cetera. And unfortunately, what they don't appreciate is what makes someone happy, that gives meaning in life, is actually to be of service, to care for another, to reach out, to give, to make your own life one in which you are every day doing an action that benefits another. And when you do this, this is something that sticks with you essentially every day. You know, no matter how bad you feel, no matter how hard you've worked, you're still blessed because you've been able to be of service to another person versus just trying to feed yourself something that offers no relevance and certainly no sustenance.
There's an example of fire, that a fire is hungry for fuel, but however much fuel you put on the fire, it gets hungrier and hungrier. The fire doesn't say, yes, I've had enough, I'm happy. The more the fuel it's put on fire, the hungrier and more fuel the fire needs. And selfish desire is like that. As you said, James, so beautifully, that we're all looking for love. That's what we're actually, that's what the heart longs for. That's what the soul longs for. And somehow we're distracted to try to find the happiness, the peace of love in things. And you know, even the physical body of people are things. You know, love is something that's heart to heart. You know, we're trying to find it in things like accumulation of money or property or power or fame or sex or all these different things. But however much we get, the tendency is we need more because we're actually thirsting for something beyond all this. And when we, you know, through meditation, through prayer, through seva, through compassionate living toward others, we actually connect with the love within our heart. And then, you know, however intellectual we may be or not, however wealthy we may be or not, it really doesn't matter what our color, what our race, what our religion, what our sex, we are sacred children from the same source. We are, from a spiritual perspective, our souls are forever beautiful and Satchidananda, full of love, and you know, a love that's beyond birth and beyond death. And that's what actually, that's who we are, and that's what we're looking for. And when we connect to that, then we want to integrate that in whatever we do. We may be doctors or lawyers or business, or we may be politicians, or we may be little swamis like me, but that's all details, what our particular roles are in society. What's important is that we're coming from a place of values, of character, which are built on respect, gratitude, and actual care for others through, you know, of awakening of the love that's within us.
Speaking of that, what, you know, as you've seen in the United States, and I think maybe elsewhere in the world, this Black Lives Matter. And it's interesting because, of course, people say Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. But the thing they're missing there, of course, is that Black Lives Matter in the sense that they're the ones who are effectively being destroyed by policemen and others. And what are your thoughts on that? And how would you tell people to respond to that, if you will?
Well, I'm going to use an analogy that's just coming to my mind. We have these bodies. And every part of my body matters. My eyes, my nose, my lungs, my heart, my brain, my legs. Every part of the body matters. But if a particular part of the body is wounded, then every part of the body is giving special attention and focus to heal that wound. So all lives do matter. Not only all humanity, but all living beings, you know, the animals and the birds, you know, wherever there's the living pursuit of pleasure in life, you know, the little ant is looking for pleasure. I've seen, you know, in dogs and cats, and I've seen in cows and goats, you know, how the mother loves their little children, maybe not with the same intellectual capacity we do, but with the same emotion and care. They'll give their life to protect their little young one. So, you know, everyone matters. But, you know, the African-American people in this country, you know, from the time of coming have been inflicted upon with so many injustices and so much pain. And, you know, our brothers, our sisters, you know, Black Lives Matter. And I think that's something that really should be in the forefront and a focus because, you know, because there's a need. There's a great need.
Well, the
very basis of America is that everyone deserves life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness without consideration of their color or their race or their religion. And from a spiritual perspective, you know, we're all children of the same God. And, you know, when I was young, this was a prominent part of my whole life, you know, being in civil rights, because there is so much injustice and inequality, and it really does have to be addressed very seriously. And in that way, you know, we can try to heal the wounds that have been created and uplift our society as a whole.
Well, you know, ultimately, hopefully that is the goal. I think, you know, it's certainly been challenging. And I think with our present president, it's made it even more of a challenge, whereby I think if we had someone else who, instead of promoting divisiveness, promoted togetherness and working together. Maybe you can tell us about some of the projects you're doing related to your eco village and what's going on there. And I know it's shut down at the moment, but maybe you can tell us a little bit about what's happening there.
The same principle that we've been discussing, James, we are applying to our Govardhan Eco Village. The basic purpose is to respect the sanctity of life and to honor the gifts of God in the form of nature and in the form of all living beings. Harmony is so important. The word yoga means to reunite, to be in union with, to be in harmony, to harmonize the body, the mind, to harmonize the body and mind with the heart, to harmonize the heart with our eternal soul, to harmonize all of our actions and words with other living beings and with nature. The reality is, and you can explain it from a scientific perspective, I'm explaining it from a more of a spiritual philosophical idea, but everything is connected and everything is everything and everyone is interdependent. And the quality of a meaningful life is how we live in harmony with others. And that harmony is really the basis of compassion. If we don't care about the environment, we're not showing compassion to all living beings because everyone is totally dependent on the environment. So at our Govardhan Eco Village, we have an animal sanctuary. We have many different ecological projects. And the purpose of these projects is to demonstrate to the thousands of villages that are around us how to improve their lives physically, economically, health-wise, emotionally, and also spiritually. And also, you know, through the process, many students and universities from all over the world and colleges are coming, you know, on retreats there. We have examples of water harvesting and processing human waste or sewage into pure water that grows beautiful gardens, transforming plastic into usable oil, organic farming, developing the topsoil in such a way that, you know, crops really grow in a very healthy way. There are many such programs. We have a yoga school. We have an Ayurvedic medical school. In this way, we're trying in our small way to demonstrate the principles, how there are ways we can adopt to live in harmony with nature and live in harmony with each other, and what a beautiful quality of life that actually creates. It brings us closer to God naturally.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned interdependence, because I think that's really, you know, the key here, not only interdependence among each of us, but also interdependence among animals and humans and all living beings. So what is next for Radhana Swami? What are you going to...
What is next for me?
Yes.
I'm just so happy in the present moment being with you, Dr. Doty. I have nothing else that I can aspire for at this moment. But, you know, I'm kind of locked down in the place where I am. And there's just so many opportunities through the internet and through, I guess, we're on Zoom right now. To actually connect with people. Spiritual practice, early in the morning, I have my spiritual practice where I really try to connect with my own inner self and with Krishna, with God. And through the riches of peace that comes from that, for the rest of the day, I try to share. And I may not be traveling all over the place like I usually do, but just sitting in this room, you know, to reach so many people. And according to how things unfold, then we'll make our plans accordingly.
Well, that's going to be interesting. You know, people ask me what I do each day, and I say that I'll sit up at the side of the bed and I'll think of, and while I'm breathing, I'll think of joy and awe about being present in this world. And then I go through these 10 letters of the alphabet, which are C through L, and which is something that I created actually when I was asked to speak to my medical school about trying to inspire these new doctors as to what they were going to do and to give them something that was easy to remember. And what I did with that was to go through these 10 letters, which in some ways actually was my own journey. And it was C for compassion for self and others, B for recognizing the dignity of every other person, E is practicing equanimity or this evenness of temperament in the face of things that we wanted to achieve or avoidance of things that were painful to us. F was forgiveness, and which of course is one of the things that's a challenge, right? Is to, you know, how do you carry forgiveness for others when you actually have this angry feeling? And, you know, someone pointed out it's like drinking poison and somehow thinking it's going to affect the other person, and it never does. So, you know, being able to forgive people but not forget. G is having gratitude, this idea of appreciating what you have. This is one of, I think, the challenges is that so often, you know, we'll think of what we don't have because we're always looking up at another versus looking down and saying, oh my God, I'm so blessed to have so much. And then H is humility, this idea that you're not above another person. You know, the way to connect with someone is to be eye to eye. I is having integrity and values. J is this concept of justice or this idea of our responsibility for caring for those who are vulnerable or the sense of fairness, if you will. K is kindness that has nothing to do with suffering per se. You're just being nice. And all of this is contained by love. And I think that's my own practice in terms of how I function every day.
Thank you. Thank you for that. It was beautiful, really beautiful.
What, you know, we've talked about COVID, we've talked about, you know, Black Lives Matter. What do you think, you know, we have, as an example, we have Poland where we have a, you know, populist individual who's ridden on the issues of anti-LGBT rights and a variety of other populist movements. I think we had the UK, Boris Johnson, although I think once he got COVID, he became much nicer, didn't he? And then we have our president. What are your thoughts on this idea of populism and sort of the separation of others versus connection, caring, loving everyone?
It was Emerson who said, the reason there's so much chaos in this world is because human beings are disconnected from their own selves. And when we're actually connected with ourself, we feel our connection with all beings. And, you know, in the name of capitalism and communism and socialism and in the name of nationalism and in the name of, you know, religion and the name of race, so many things we're divided. It's a very superficial way of thinking and living. And it's due to a disconnect from our own true self. And that's where spirituality can actually very much help, where we see that all of nature is our mother, Mother Nature. And all living beings, whatever their color, whatever their nationality or race, we truly are in reality. We're brothers and sisters. And the more we respect each other and are united on that level of respect and compassion, the more there's happiness and there's peace in the world. Of course, justice is important where there is people who are inflicting harm upon others. But, you know, we hate the disease, but we don't hate the person that's diseased. We see the potential in everyone, and we want to serve. The idea of seva is a very universal principle.
And it's interesting you bring that up, because if you look at, as an example, there's certainly a large number of religious organizations that believe what you say. What's interesting is I have not seen, and maybe I'm missing something, and maybe you can explain, these different groups coming together to hold hands in the face of the Black Lives Movement, or even some of the COVID-19, as far as saying, let's come together, let's look at this from a scientific point of view. Do you know why that is, you think?
Well, because of social distancing, it's hard to hold hands these days.
Well,
but we can be heart to heart and hold hands in that way. And that's very much important, what you're speaking, that like-minded people who are really pursuing goodness and justice, gratitude and humility, and I'll put all these things together, it's seva, it's love. You know, it is important that we need each other. We need to be, you know, connected. There's one of us could do a little, but if we're united with so many others, we could do so much. And for that unity to be real, in your beautiful alphabetic philosophy, you know, humility and gratitude and forgiveness, all of these qualities are sacred. And we need to learn how to cultivate those. And we need to live in such a way and provide the opportunities in such a way so our children and our grandchildren, they grow up understanding this is what's really important in life. Not the quantity of what I have, but the quality of who I am and how I'm loving and making a positive difference in the world.
Well, that's certainly, you know, true. And that's the question is, you know, how do you do that? And what are the mechanisms of making that happen? You know, I think that perhaps in some ways, it can be as simple as this conversation, you know, going out in the world and having an impact on people. It's always interesting, you know, on the one hand, of course, I speak about science, but then on the other hand, you know, I talk about the power of love and connection. And I think it's important to think of it that way, in the sense of, you know, while we do fall back on science, and science is what has allowed us, if you will, to be here today, but that being said, at the end of the day, the most important thing is what's in your heart and what you do for others and how you can connect with others. It's in some ways, it's horrible to watch. I don't know if you've seen any of this QAnon stuff. Have you seen that at all?
No.
You're lucky. So there's this idea of QAnon, which is the response to science and to, if you will, normative states by having this group of people who say that there's actually a deep state in the United States which is negatively influencing things, and that's why we need to support Donald Trump, which is sort of a fascinating thing. I only bring that up to bring up the fact that whether it's here or elsewhere, you know, we have these group of people who grab on to these conspiracy theories and these other theories about why things are happening, which have nothing to do with really anything. And it's sort of a sad, sad thing to watch, because these people are so lost that they want to grab on to anything except for the thing, which of course is truly the real thing, which is, again, being of service, caring for others, and supporting others.
Only light can dispel darkness, and only love can dispel hate. And, you know, we need to find those people, and we need to have our own practices in our life to cultivate coming into that light and finding that peace and finding that love within ourselves and among ourselves. And it's really important. And I see through my own interactions that there are many people who are coming together, small groups, large groups, with a common purpose of focusing on these higher values. And that's what will change the world. Each and every one of us can make a incredible, significant, positive difference in the world. Because it's not judged by the quantity of what we're accomplishing. It's really about the quality of our character, our values, and our intentions. And each one of us just sitting at home, we could make a great change to the world if we just have these positive intentions. And of course, you know, activism to bring light to the world. Activism to bring compassion and love to the world through our examples individually and collectively is what's so very, very important. And oftentimes what happens is the solution to problems, those solutions become much bigger problems than the original problem, unless we actually have, you know, knowledge of how to actually find that light, that light that that uplifts people, that brings people together, and that, you know, brings us closer to God and each other. And that's the challenge of the world today. And each and every one of us, we can't just depend on politicians to solve the problems. Each and every one of us, you know, within our own lives can come closer to the incredible power of love that's within us.
Well, I think that's actually an excellent point, you know, to consider stopping on, is this idea of, while politicians can do wonderful things, politicians also have their own needs. And I think if we look at science, if we look at individuals who are trying to promote a common narrative of working together to improve the lives of everyone versus improving my life and the other people don't matter. I think those are really the most critical aspects of how to move forward versus staying in the same place or moving backward. And there you have it. We've solved the world's problem.
Well, just, you know, we are on Dr. Doty. It's really beautiful because we're so different, yet we're so connected. We're in very different places. We have very different occupations. We even have very different philosophies. But yet, you know, the two of us have found something so sacred and beautiful that we have in common. And all the other things actually become beautiful when we discover what we really have in common, is that we really want to bring light to the world.
No, and I think this idea of seva and being of service is really what's most important is, you know, how can we work together to make the world a little bit of a nicer place? And I think...
I remember in 1971, I was in a holy place in India called Vrindavan. And there's over 5,000 temples and simple villagers, but everyone loves Radha Krishna. It's a very sweet path of loving God and connecting with God. So I met my guru there, Srila Prabhupada. And at this time, he had temples and followers all over the world. And I had just met him. I was just a little wandering seeker. And I was sitting on the floor, and he was sitting on the floor, and there was a few other people in the room. And a journalist asked him a question. He said, "Are you the guru for the whole world?" And when he was asked that question, he looked down, and I saw great emotion in him. And he was in that pose for a few seconds, and then he looked up and there were tears in his eyes. And he said, "No." He said, "I am just the servant of everyone. That's all." And at that time I was thinking, I want him to be my teacher. Because, you know, we shouldn't be seeking to be great, we should be seeking to serve. Because in that service is actual greatness.
I think that's what people forget sometimes, is that in that service, there is greatness within that. So thank you so much for being with me. It's a joy. We're almost out of time. So thank you. I'm sure our paths will cross again in the near future, maybe through Zoom, but hopefully.
I really hope so. Usually it's around this time of the year that we always meet in California.
Exactly. Although I keep promising to come to India. I haven't been there in 3 years now. So I guess it's probably time.
Please know, Dr. Doty, you have a loving family that's waiting for your arrival in India, and we're going to start preparing for your arrival at this moment.
Okay. I don't know when that's going to be. Maybe you can tell me whenever that will happen.
Can you say again? I'm sorry.
I said, maybe you can tell me when that's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to be.
I pray that it comes soon.
Yes, indeed. Okay, my friend, well, thank you so much. Always a joy and such a pleasure. And I look forward to us spending time again soon.
Thank you, James, and my love to your whole family and my deepest gratitude to everyone who is joining Dr. Doty and myself today.
Thank you, everyone. Hare Krishna. Take care.